I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on Sunday mornings on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. My guest is saxophonist Alan Broffman, who, along with multi-instrumentalist Cooper Moore and a full band, will be performing selections from Broffman's 1975 India Navigation release, Valley of Search, on Saturday, September 14th, during Basilica Hudson's Basilica Soundscape 2019 in Hudson, New York. It runs Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th. Thank you for joining me at WGXC.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Valley of Search was reissued for the first time last year on the Control Group label. Who decided to reissue it?
Well, Nabil Ayres decided that's his label, and he had the idea. It's funny how that worked out because, I'm from New York, and I live in Salt Lake City, been there for a while, and it's kind of out of the loop of what's happening with that album. I just forgot about it, and Nabil informed me that there was a bit of a following for the album, and it had been selling for actually decent prices on eBay and any original copies. He said, the music was good. He decided, hey, let's reissue it. And he did that. We had a very successful couple of concerts in New York last year, playing the music from it. And that's how that happened.
Nabil Ayres is your nephew. And he's a musician himself.
He's a musician. He's in the business side of the music, too, with 4AD Records.
And he's the one who contacted Basilica Hudson and recommended you to perform during this weekend's Basilica Soundscape 2019.
That would be correct.
Yeah. Will this be your first time in Hudson, New York?
Yeah, I've never been there.
Oh, wow. Now, according to the website, valleyofsearch.com, your performance will include the multi-instrumentalist Cooper Moore and a full band. Is that correct?
That's it. We have James Brandon Lewis, a tenor saxophone player in New York, and Ken Filiano on bass, and Andrew Drury on drums, Cooper Moore on piano, and myself on saxophone, alto saxophone.
Okay, I lost count. How many people is that? Was that five?
That's five.
That's five. So this is reminiscent of the ensemble that you had in 1975 for Valley of Search, and that was you on saxophone, Cooper Moore on piano, dulcimer and voice, Cecil McBee on bass, David mm-hmm. Lee on drums, and Ralph Williams on percussion.
Right. That's similar in instrumentation. We have no percussionist, and we've added a tenor saxophone. But otherwise, traditional jazz, quintet, rhythm section, piano, bass, drums, and two horns.
Though Valley of Search was your only release, you've remained an active player.
Definitely. That's what I do. And I've been, out of the loop a little bit, out of, being in Salt Lake. But in a sense, it's given me years to practice. I think I've, come back as I can do much better than Valley of Search now.
Who have you collaborated with over the past 40 plus years?
Well, I was in New York, plenty of people. I toured with the Carla Bley Band for about 3 years in the late 70s, early 80s. And I did a short stint subbing for a friend of mine with the Psychedelic Furs, and played on Cecil McBee's album, Mutima, which is released on Stratus Records. And that's how it came about that I was able to have Cecil play on mine, because if he asked me to play on his, I didn't feel too bashful about asking him to play on mine. Otherwise, it might not happen. And, and in Salt Lake, it's I lead a band out there. I write music. I have to change the music out there for a different audience. I think I still get the spirit of what I'm doing, but here I can do exactly what I want.
From the time you were a kid, you knew you wanted to become a musician.
Yeah, it was either a baseball player or a musician.
Why did you choose Berklee College of Music?
Well, at the time, that was pretty much the only school that was focusing on jazz in college. And it's funny how that works, because at the time, you know, like I said, it was only pretty much there was like North Texas, I think, but basically Berkeley was it for jazz schools. And I remember at the time, everybody used to complain, musicians used to complain that, you know, jazz was not respected, it wasn't taught in colleges, and it was true. And now it is, and it's come like first circle the other way. It's like, yeah, there's just not the system has changed so much with the music that, you know, way back, even before my time, especially before my time, you know, nobody went to college for jazz. It didn't exist. You learn on the job, and there was enough gigs so you could learn on the job. And now, if you want to learn jazz, as kids come up and there's not the gigs to learn from experience, they go to college. So it's funny that it used to be the complaint that there was no jazz taught in college. And now, kind of, I think it's changed the music a lot that it's taught so much in college. Kids, you know, go, you know, I have friends who have PhDs, you know, you don't need that to play, you know.
Your musical and personal life begin to blossom at Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts?
Well, one of the main things, you know, at Berklee, I have to blame myself. I didn't, you know, all I really wanted to do, I was, you know, 18 when I started there, and all I wanted to do was play. I wanted to practice and play. And as a result, I didn't really take advantage of what I would do, you know, if I had gone a bit later, really taking advantage of, really focused on their arranging courses and the writing courses, things that I had to, you know, more learn on my own. It's funny how that worked, because I did over a course, you know, I went there over 4 years. I went three of them, but, you know, I got the 4-year degree because I went a couple of summers. And the main things I learned up there, not from the college, and again, I'm not blaming them, I'm blaming myself, but it was the musicians I met up there and played with that you know, was where my growth came. And one of the main things there was meeting Cooper Moore, who was there at the time. And I just went in and sat in with him at one of his gigs, and we kind of hit it off, and we're still playing together. That was like 1971. And we actually have a newly reissued, or it's not reissued, it's a new release, but we found this tapes from a duo that I did with Cooper Moore in 1971, live at WKCR, the Columbia radio station. And that's just, Nabil's released that streaming, WKCR sessions. That was, it's more the people I played with there and the practice time I put in than the actual studies. I kind of screwed off on my studies a lot. But that's okay, because I didn't screw up messing around. I screwed off practicing.
What eventually drew you to New York City's Lower Manhattan in 1973?
Well, you know, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Long Island. And I have an older sister, and she lived in the city. I used to just, you know, once I got to be 17, I moved out of the house and moved in with her. And that was Lower Manhattan. That was in the Village. And I went up to Boston right after that summer. And with Cooper Moore, we were all, the group of us, including David S. Ware, a great, late, great tenor saxophone player. We all hung out up there. And Cooper Moore found this building, 501 Canal Street, which at the time, you know, it was 1973. They didn't have even a name for the neighborhood. You know, of course, now it's Tribeca. It was like a wasteland, which was beautiful. There was nothing there. You know, you had to walk 20 blocks to go to a supermarket. But but yeah, you can imagine New York like that. That was amazing, you know, to be in such a desolate area. And we had the whole building. It was like $550 a month for the building. And it was like, you know, 2 blocks from the Hudson River. The wind, you know, I'm pretty convinced global warming is happening just because it was a lot colder then coming off the river than it is now. Those winds would come off and be like, go down to 4 degrees and with wind chill factor. And we had no central heating in the building. And we would heat the rooms by, you know, space heaters, which you turn off at night because of fire hazard and also expensive electricity. And if you had like liquid like water or something, you would, on one of those nights, you'd have to put it in the refrigerator to keep it from freezing. It's like That was good when you're young, you know. That, but the thing is that it was so cheap, we didn't have to get, work much. So, I felt sorry for, people like in that situation, like my age. I was then coming to New York now, when they have to, five roommates and pay, work as a waiter for, when you're going to work on your art. But it was easy for us in that respect. And we had a storefront on the ground floor. We used to put our own concerts on the weekends. And it got to be a little scene there. And that was, I guess, it was, it's changed so much down there, obviously, now. Now, it's still pretty cool, but it's nothing like, before it got gentrified. It was, as a musician there, it was perfect.
You and Cooper Moore have remained friends and colleagues since meeting at Berklee.
Well, I was at Berklee. He wasn't there
Oh,
at the
he
time. He was
wasn't.
just, no,
Oh,
he had
okay.
gone there a few years earlier, but not maybe just for a semester or something. But he wasn't currently, when I met him, was not studying at Berklee. He was just leading his own band.
Ah, oh, got it. Okay. So, Cooper Moore, before 1985, he went by the name of Gene Ashton. He was born in the segregated state of Virginia. He became an active member of the civil rights movement and peace movements. At the time you met him, did you share his views on peace and civil rights?
Absolutely. The war was still happening, for another 3 years when I met Cooper Moore. I was pretty close to the time of, the activity with the civil rights movement. It was just the next, the next decade after the 60s. So, it was a pretty exciting time, a lot of changes. Our views have developed and grown, but that's the birth of it.
Your views influence the music on Valley of Search.
Well, I have definite political opinions, whatever. But when it comes to the music, I don't necessarily think of politics in specific, any specifics at all. Like, I'm not trying to deliver a specific message, you should believe this or that. But I'm more interested in the spiritual aspect of, you know, personal growth and where that's taken me, and try to impart that in the music. That's more personal to me. You know, like, one can have any, you know, whatever their political views are. You know, I know some terrible people that I agree with their political views, you know. So I'm more interested when it comes to the music with the you know, my spiritual pursuits, I would guess.
Valley of Search was the second release for the record label India Navigation. The mm-hmm. title, Valley of Search, is a poem by D. Kaushali Dickinson. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Kaushali.
Kaushali. Did you know the poet?
Oh, yeah, we were good friends, yes. Yeah, she's I've lost contact with her. I haven't tried to find her. Thanks for reminding me. Maybe I will do that.
Yeah, I mean, I get, and that leads to the question, how did the title of the poem influence you to title your release, Valley of Search?
Well, actually, there's a book by the founder of the Baha'i faith named who's called Baha'u'llah, who wrote a book called The Seven Valleys. And it basically is about the different stages of life that one goes through. And one of the valleys is the Valley of Search. And that's what I felt I was in. So I named it for that.
Since the reissue of Valley of Search, what's it been like? What's been the reception? What have you heard? What's it been like being out there and playing this music again after 40 years?
Well, it's interesting. Certainly, it's enabled this next stage to come. And the next stage is, we're doing a concert in Brooklyn tonight at the Murmur Ballroom. Well, when people hear this, it'll be last night. It's Thursday today. But anyway, playing tonight in Brooklyn and Saturday in Hudson, obviously. And Sunday in a studio in Hudson, we're going to record all new music. So it's brought us to a new album because Valley of Search is 45 years old. I've got to do something new. I've grown a lot since then. And it's given what it's done is basically given the opportunity to continue this and I've written all new music for this album. We're going to do the similar style of recording that we did Valley of Search, mostly, just live and straight through. And once again, I hate breaks between tunes. To me, like when I see a performer and they play a tune, I really like it. And then they start talking to the artist. I think to myself, shut up. I just want to hear your music. So I decided, and I hate talking to crowds. I'm nervous about it. It's the worst thing. I'm terrible at it. So this way I don't have to talk to the crowd. I just keep playing. We go one tune into the next. So we'll record it that way again, by and large,
It seems like Nabil has been in your back pocket for a long time.
And Nabil's the best.
He's the best. And he's such a good man that, or I should say little man, that back 45 years ago, you wrote a tune.
Little Nabil's March. Yes, on Valley of Search.
Little Nabil's March. What was he like as a little tyke?
He was amazing. Absolutely. And I'm privileged to have I could be his father as far as my love for him, closest to him. As a kid, he was just so bright. I got him a drum set. He would just bang on anything he could when he was 2 years old, 3 years old. And I got him a drum set. How old were you? About three? Two and a half. When he was two and a half, I got him a drum set. And we used to play together all the time. And I remember there's a time we have some, I actually taped some of those sessions. Should we release some of our sessions maybe? And there's one time where we were doing a Sesame Street tune. I forget which one it was. I was playing saxophone, he was playing drums, and we have it on tape. And I made a mistake in the tune. I didn't know it too well. And he stops the drum and said, "Alan, don't you watch the show?" Just a super, super bright kid. Super, super bright adult.
Sounds like you are so lucky to have him.
Absolutely.
Wow. Love it. Saxophonist Alan Brofman, multi-instrumentalist Cooper Moore, and a band are part of this year's Basilica Soundscape 2019 in Hudson, New York. They'll perform selection from Brofman's 1975 Indian Navigation release, Valley of Search, reissued last year on the Control Group label. Their performance is scheduled for Saturday, September 14th in the afternoon. For more information on Alan Brofman and Valley of Search, valleyofsearch.com. For more information about Basilica Soundscape 2019, which runs Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th, basilicahudson.org/soundscape.